بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Zaytuna Knowledge Resources present Arrogance and God Consciousness, a sermon by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله نحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى ونشكره الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله. Yeah, I'm going to give a talk and then the khutbah will be later, just so people that come in, everybody gets the khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Jahiliyyah, and the time before Islam, as all of you know, is called the time of Jahiliyyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these four mentionings of Jahiliyyah, He gives different aspects of Jahiliyyah itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them that ظَنُّ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرُ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَهَلِيَّةِ. They thought about Allah a type of thought or suggestion or belief about God that was not in accordance with the truth about Allah, and it was ظَنَّ الْجَهَلِيَّةِ. It was a jahili type of opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that aspect of jahiliyyah is the idea that jahiliyyah is a way of viewing the world. It's an opinion about the world. In Arabic, dhan usually means opinion. In the Quran, it can mean opinion. It can also mean certainty. So it's a word that's nuanced. But generally, it means opinion. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they had jahili opinions about God. In other words, their understanding of God was in accordance with jahiliyyah, not with truth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says about jahiliyyah, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. Do they want the ruling of jahiliyyah? Do they want the ruling of jahiliyyah? And what is better than the ruling of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for people who understand this, who have certainty? So that's another type of jahiliyyah, which is you have a jahili belief system, and then you have jahiliyyah as a way of governing your affairs. The Prophet ﷺ, for instance, said that the people of jahiliyyah were people that if a poor person did something, they punished them. But if a rich person did something, they let them off. So in our culture, somebody like Madoff steals $60 billion and they put him under house arrest in a $7 million apartment. And somebody goes to a 7-Eleven and steals $100 and he goes right to jail without passing go and collecting $200 or anything. So that's jahiliyyah. That is jahiliyyah, to prefer rich people over other people just because they're rich. That's the essence of jahiliyyah in terms of the ruling. But there are other aspects of that. For instance, Aisha radiallahu anhu said that in jahiliyyah, people would have relationships, and then they would have, in order to determine the child, they had somebody who knew qiyafa, which is like looking at people and seeing, oh, his face is like this, and he looks like that. And that's who would determine the lineage of a child. So they would go and they would judge and say, you're the father. This is like an early DNA testing. This is a jahili DNA testing. It's the same idea. It's a paternity suit. The men are differing about, or the woman claims, one of these is the father. So they bring the jahili scientist and he looks in the face and he says, you're the father. Because of some kind of genetic relationship that he sees based on that science. Because that's a knowledge to see qualities in people's faces. That's a ruling of jahiliyyah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the women, وَقَرْنَ فِي بِيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرَّجُ الْجَهْلِيَّةَ الْأُولَى. Stay in your houses, to the women of the Prophet specifically. In other words, don't go out for other than necessities. Because we know that the Prophet's women were allowed to go out for their necessities. But they were not encouraged to go out, simply to go out, because society has its problems. That was more specific to the women of the Prophet ﷺ because of their maqam. And the Sayyidina Umar said to the Prophet, يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْكَ الْبِرُّ وَالْفَاجَرُ الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجَرُ, that people, good people and bad people come in, and I would prefer that your women were not exposed to people, because some people come in with bad thoughts. And after that, the ayat al-hijab came down. Before the ayat al-hijab, the women were exposed, because a lot of the doors of the Arabs did not have even curtains on them. So the women would be cooking. Somebody could walk by and see the wives of the Prophet ﷺ in the house. After that, they were told to go behind the curtain. And this was something that the Prophet implemented. For other women, it's encouraged also that they not go out like to the malls just to walk around, to look around, that you go out with intention specific. So this type of jahiliyyah, which is called tabarruj, is the jahiliyyah of the culture. It's a cultural jahiliyyah. So you have jahili understanding, you have jahili rulings, then you have jahili culture. So the culture becomes jahiliyyah. The jahiliyyah culture is most embodied in the exploitation of women. And that's why that verse refers to women not coming out with their ornaments. Tabarruj in Arabic, baraja means to manifest yourself. Which is why the burj is a tower, because it's something high, people can see it. So tabarruj is to be like a tower, to put yourself out there so people look at you. So it's to wear your ornaments, to have... Now they have this culture where women go to great extents to enhance whatever they feel they don't have in terms of their ornaments. So they'll go and pay a doctor to make them appear different from the way they were created in order to attract the attention of onlookers or something like that, whatever they do it. There's people that dress to entice other people. Right? There's nothing wrong with dressing well, with dressing appropriately, but when you dress to seduce people, that's jahiliyyah. That's jahiliyyah. When you address to get the eyes of people to look at you, that's jahiliyyah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns against that. The final verse in which Allah describes jahiliyyah is the jahiliyyah of behavior and attitude. So you have jahiliyyah of understanding, the way of thinking, your views about things can be jahili. Your rulings, your governance can be jahili. Your culture can be jahili. And then your behavior can be jahili. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the jahili people, إِذْ جَعْلَ الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ جَعْلَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ الْحَمِيَّةَ حَمِيَّةَ الْجَهَلِيَّةِ. When those who had kufr in their hearts, those who disbelieved, they filled their hearts with hamiyya. And the hamiyya causes a behavior. When your heart's filled with hamiyya. And hamiyya, according to the people of the Arabic language, they say it's anafa, arrogance, iba, filled with oneself to the point where they disregard others, nakhwa, ostentatiousness. This hamiyya that Allah talks about is related to arrogance. Is an arrogance. Now, arrogance is a quality that most people are unaware of in themselves, but they see it in other people, and they don't like it. People do not like arrogance by nature. Even arrogant people do not like other arrogant people. Arrogance is to see yourself better than other people, and this is at the essence of jahili culture. It's when you believe that you're better than others. The Prophet ﷺ said that on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place a caller, munadi, yunadi. Ja'altum nasabakum wa ja'ala Allahu nasabahu. You made your lineage and God made His lineage. You made your lineage and God made His lineage. فَأَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَقُولُوا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ja'ala nasabahu إِنَّ أَكْرَمُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ يَتْقَاكُمْ. The most noble of you in God's sight are the people of taqwa. That's the nasab of God. That's the lineage of God. The people of taqwa are the noblest people. وَأَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَقُولُوا فُلَانِ ابْنُ فُلَانِ خَيْرٌ مِّن فُلَانِ ابْنِ فُلَانِ. But you refuse to accept the lineage of God and continue to say so-and-so is better than so-and-so because he's the son of so-and-so. So Allah got rid of this idea, which is a jahili idea. It's a jahili idea that somebody is better than somebody because of the color of their skin, because of the amount of their wealth, because of the amount of their influence or power, because of their lineage. Whatever reason they think they're better than somebody, Allah made the standard of what makes a person better than other people, taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the tongue of His messenger, told us through revelation, "Attaqwa hahuna wa ashara ila qalbihi thalathan." Taqwa is in the heart. That's where taqwa is. You can fool people with your outward prayer, whatever you do. You can make people think that you're a person of taqwa, but Allah knows our reality. And that reality will be manifest on the Day of Judgment. That's the day when there's no lineage, there's no wealth, there's no parentage, there's no power. All of those things go. The people that wore their Armani suits or their suits that were handmade from silk are stripped naked. They don't have their Rolex watches. They don't have their diamond rings. All the women that filled themselves with all the outward pomp and circumstance of this life, it's all stripped away from them. When Aisha was told that people would be stripped naked on the Day of Judgment, she said, "Won't people be looking at each other, Ya Rasulullah?" And he said, "It's a much greater matter than that to preoccupy them. It's a much greater matter than that to preoccupy them. Nobody's going to be looking at anybody else or checking them out on that day. That day is nafsi nafsi. Because it's the fire or it's the garden. That's it." So Allah says, you refuse to follow my standard or my criterion, which is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْيَوْمْ أَضَعُ نَسَبَكُمْ وَأَجْعَلُ نَسَبِي أَيْنَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Today, all of lineage is set aside and my lineage stands firm. Where are the people of taqwa? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Where are the people of taqwa? The people of taqwa have qualities. Among the qualities is humility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهِ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةً عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَعِزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah says that if you turn away from this religion, God will bring other people. He's in no need of any of us. If you turn away from this religion, He will bring other people. God loves them and they love God. Mahabba. That's the essence of their relationship. Not fear. Not fear. That's not the essence of their relationship. They're not worshiping Allah because they're afraid of getting burnt in the fire. They're worshiping Allah because they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the essence of their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is love. The fear that a child has for the father is a fear of love. It's not a fear of hatred. It's a fear of disappointing the father because the child loves the father so much. That's the fear. That's the fear of a believer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that God is worthy of taqwa. Ahlu taqwa. He is ahlu taqwa. He is worthy of taqwa, of piety, of dutiful obedience, of being aware of what He's asking of people and then attempting to fulfill that. So on that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets aside all of the criteria and standards of dunya and sets a new criteria, taqwa. At the essence of that is love and humility. A'izzatan 'ala al-mu'minin. They are humble before other believers. Adhillatan 'ala al-mu'minina. They have humility before the believers. And they have izzah, which is dignity, in the presence of disbelievers. They don't lower their standards for disbelievers. Now, kufr is a problematic word in the Quran because it's a nuanced word in the Quran. Kufr, and there's a difference of opinion amongst our theologians. Is kufr a state in any given moment? That's the Maturidi opinion. Is it a state in any given moment? Or is it something that continues on throughout the life of a person, irrespective of whatever they claim to be at any given time? That's a debate among scholars. Some say that iman, you are a mu'min with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether or not you're in a state of kufr at any specific time in your life. In other words, Umar was always a mu'min with Allah, because he was going to believe even when he was opposing the Prophet. So those are the two opinions, which is why they debated about whether you can say, I'm a mu'min insha'Allah. You see, because the Maturidi said you can't say that. You have to believe that you are a mu'min at the moment that somebody asks you, are you a believer? Whereas the Ash'ari people said, no. Somebody doesn't know what their end is. So they're hoping that their end will be with Allah as a believer. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, Ya dara qawman mu'mineen, antum as-sabiqoon wa nahnu al-lahiqoon, insha'Allah. Everybody knows they're going to die, but we don't know if we're going to be in the abode of the believers. So that hadith indicates the strength of the position of the second opinion. So kufr is a nuanced word in the Quran. Many people out there that you see, they are in an outward state of kufr, but their inward reality, we don't know. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to show ghilza to the people that oppose you, the people that fight you. Whereas the people that don't oppose you, you treat them well. You smile in their face. You encourage them. You invite them. Because that's the way you entice people to listen to the truth. The Prophet was always with good cheer with people. Even when he was calling non-Muslims to Islam, he did it with good cheer. He wasn't angry. لَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيذَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you were angry and harsh and cruel by your nature, nobody would have ever come around you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah describes this as humility. Now the worst aspect of arrogance, the very worst quality that is in arrogance, is that those who display arrogance are completely deprived of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran that He will asrifu an ayati. I will divert my signs. Asrifu ayati an alladhina yatakabbaruna fil ard bighayr al-haq. Those who are arrogant without any right to be arrogant. Wa in yaraw kulla ayatin la yu'minu biha. If they see every sign, they won't believe in it. Wa in yaraw sabila ar-rushdi la yattakhidhuhu sabila. If they see the clear path, if they see guidance, they won't take that path. Wa in yaraw sabila al-ghayy yattakhidhuhu sabila. And if they see the path that deviates from the truth, that takes people away, they will take it as a path. Why? Dharika bi'annahum kadhabu bi-ayatina wa kanu anha ghafilin. That is because they denied our signs. They denied our signs out of arrogance. They denied our signs and they were heedless. Ghafla. And this is why Imam al-Junayd, the great, they call him Imam al-Ta'ifatain, because he was a great faqih, but he was also a great spiritual master. Imam al-Junayd said, before learning about God, you have to empty your heart of arrogance. In traditional, when you study traditional science, they say, أَهَمُّهَا عَقَائِدٌ ثُمَّ فُرُوعٌ. The most important thing is learning aqidah, and then you learn fiqh. I learned, you know, أَوَّلَ وَاجِبٍ عَلَمٍ كُلِّفَ مَكَّنٍ مِنْ نَذِرٍ أَنْ يَعْرِفَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولُ بِصِفَاتِ مِمَّا عَلَيْهِ نَصُبَ الْآيَاتِ. The first obligation is to learn Allah and His Messenger. This is what they teach. If you go any traditional madrasa training, first thing you learn, aqidah, because that's awwal wajib. Imam al-Junayd said, the first thing that you should teach somebody is what the signs of arrogance are, and teach them how to fight those signs in themselves. Because if they're not doing that actively, it's a waste of time to teach them anything else, because even if they learn the information, they won't have the knowledge. They won't have the knowledge. Arrogance is a disease. The Prophet ﷺ said once, he said, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. No one will enter paradise if they have an atom's weight of arrogance in their heart. One atom's weight will prevent you from entering into paradise. One atom's weight. One of the Sahaba said, قَالَ الرَّجُلُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الرَّجُلُ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثَوْبُهُ حَسَنًا وَنَعْلُهُ حَسَنَةً أَمِنَ الْكِبْرِ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of God, one of us, a man, loves to have nice clothes. He likes to have nice sandals. Is that arrogance? The Prophet ﷺ said, Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Al kibru batrul haqqi wa ghamtun nas. Arrogance is to reject the truth when it's presented to you, and it is to have contempt for your fellow human beings. An-nas. Ghamtun nas. Not ghamtun muslimin. Having arrogance for your fellow human beings. Because everybody on this planet was brought here by the same Lord. Given the same intellect, the same two eyes, the same tongue. There's a lot of Muslims that talk about kuffar as if everybody's just kafir and Muslim, and that's the way you're created. Because طَالَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. This religion's been with the Muslims for too long. Their hearts have become hard. They forget that the Sahaba were all converts. The Sahaba were all converts. They converted to Islam. They weren't born in Islam. They were born in Jahiliyyah. But the Prophet ﷺ had the patience, the love, the care, the concern, and the forbearance to put up with all their arrogance, with all their jahiliyyah for 23 years until the entire Arabian Peninsula was in a state of Islam. وَلَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ إِسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You have in the Messenger of Allah the best example. People won't put up for a person out here for 5 minutes talking about Islam. The Prophet put up with Abu Sufyan for almost 20 years fighting him, but still calling him to Islam until he finally became Muslim. And when he entered into Mecca, even though Abu Sufyan had fought him all those years, he honored Abu Sufyan. مَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتَ أَبُو سُفْيَانْ كَانَ آمِنًا. Whoever enters into the house of Abu Sufyan is in a state of security. SubhanAllah. Because the Prophet didn't have this arrogance in his heart. حَشَاهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَيَنْتَهِيَنَّ أَقْوَامٌ يَفْتَخِرُونَ بِأَبَائِهِمْ الَّذِينَ مَاتُوا. There are people that will feel pride and arrogance about their ancestors. We're Muslims, or my parents were so-and-so, my grandfather so-and-so, I'm so-and-so, I'm such-and-such. And he was talking about the Jahili Arabs, but also, by extent, anybody that's arrogant about their parents. And then he said about the Jahili Arabs, he said, وَإِنَّهُمْ فَحْمُ جَهَنَّمْ. This is coal for the fire. And then he said, أَوْ لَيُكُونَنَّ أَهْوَنَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْجُعْلِ يُدَهْدِهُ الْخَرَاءِ بِأَنْفِهِ. Or they're less significant than the dung beetle that is rolling the piece of crap with his nose. أهون على الله من الجعل يدهده بأنفه الخراء. And then he said, لقد أذهب الله عنكم عبية الجهلية. God has removed from you this arrogance of جهلية. أذهب عنكم. But that has to be on your understanding, on your rulings, on your culture, and on your behavior. He has removed this jahiliyyah from you. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, innama an-nasu mu'minun taqiyun wa fajirun shaqiyun. Kullukum min Adam wa Adam khuliqa min turab. It's in Imam al-Tirmidhi. human beings are nothing other than believers with taqwa, with piety, or disbelievers that are profligate, arrogant, wretched. All of you are from Adam, and Adam was created from dust. So arrogance is a major problem. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله إن شاء الله ودو الخطبة جزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم
ماذا أقول في وصفه ومديحه
Zaytuna Knowledge Resources are for you and by you. Your continued support strengthens the mission of Zaytuna College in birthing a new age of professionals, scholars, and visionaries who are grounded in the Islamic scholarly tradition and conversant with the social, cultural, and intellectual currents shaping modern societies. Join our monthly supporters today at zaytuna.org/monthly donor.